and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion in worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available.
Notice that you abstain from sexual immorality. That's God's will for you. To abstain from that. Why is that? Why are we? Because we are to know how to possess our vessels as the redeemed of Christ who dwells in us. We are the temple of the living God. God dwells within us. So, your sanctification is seen in your abstaining from the sexual sins in this life. He says in verse 5, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For our God has not called us to impurity, but holiness. That's the most holy place. That's who we are as the people of God. That is something that you need to meditate on. That's deep. That's a profound truth. That God dwells in us by His Spirit. God dwells in us by His Spirit. He's sanctifying us. He's conforming us into the image of His dear Son. Turn to 1 Corinthians 3. Let me show you what the Apostle says about the temple again. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16, he says again to the Corinthians, do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? Don't you know that? Doesn't He testify to you? That's the work of the Spirit. It's the testimony that we are the Lord's. It's the testimony of the Spirit, beloved, that all of your sins have been forgiven you for the sake of Jesus Christ. It's the testimony of the Spirit that you are a child of God, that God loves you as He loves His own dear Son. That's the work of the Spirit. Don't you know that work in you? The Apostle Paul asked the Corinthians again, and he asked them about the Spirit of Christ dwelling in you. Do you not know that Christ dwells in you? If He doesn't dwell in you, you're not His. You're not part of His body. You have to know that He dwells in you. And how often we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Apostle Paul makes reference to that in Ephesians 4. Grieving the Holy Spirit by our sinful activity. We are not to grieve the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5. We are not to quench the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we quench it when we are engaged in this type of sinful activity. But notice what he said in verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 3. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Think twice about how you live as a believer. Give that some serious thought in your life of how you live from day to day. Just going through the motions, beloved, that's not Christianity. Just putting on the face and going through the Sunday routine, that's not Christianity. It's a life change. It's a new creation in Christ Jesus where the Spirit of God takes up residence within. And you hear the voice of Christ, come unto me, you who are heavy laden and burdened. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And you will find rest for your soul in me. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom you have from God, and you are not your own. We love that, don't we? That's the first question and answer of the catechism. You're not your own. You belong to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's your identity, beloved. That's who you are. You are the possession of Jesus Christ. He owns you. He's purchased you. Romans 6, we are no longer slaves of sin, but we are slaves of Christ in His righteousness. That's the profound reality of the people of God. You are the possession of Jesus Christ. I don't know how many funerals I've done in the past, but at every funeral, those that I've done the funerals for, the family members, have always wanted question and answer number one somewhere in the funeral service. What is your only comfort in life and in death? And we love it. That I will, body and soul, both in life and in death, I'm not my own, but I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That's not for your death, that's for your life. Christ owns you in your life. Yes, He takes you at death. Yes, you belong to Him. No, death cannot separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But that's for your life. You belong to Christ. Live for Him. His Spirit dwells within you. I'm not my own. We love it. But how many times do we act like we're our own? See, correlate Heidelberg Catechism 1 with Psalm 23. Oh, how we love that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not be in need. Why? Because my shepherd cares for me. All my needs are taken care of by the good shepherd who laid down his life for me. He feeds me. He leads me. He guides me. He protects me. He preserves me. Oh, how I love that. And then when it comes to a question of morality, what do we say? I'll do what I want to do. Who can tell me what to do? The Lord who owns you tells you. Beloved, we're not our own. We belong to our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Thirdly, remember, He purchased you. He bought you. The buying here has reference to the slave block. Again, Joseph. Joseph was hated by his brothers. He was sold to the Ishmaelite slave traders. He was then sold into Egypt. And then he was put on the slave block and he was purchased by the Potiphar. Potiphar owned Joseph. Joseph had absolutely no rights. His sole existence was to serve the Potiphar, and Potiphar cared for all of his needs. That's the imagery given here. We were once slaves of Satan and sin, no longer. Don't ever say that you can't help it. Don't ever say you couldn't avoid this particular sin. Because if you're in Christ, the power of sin no longer reigns over you. You have the ability, by the resident temple Holy Spirit who dwells within you, to put off that sin. He's vanished that rule of sin in your life. You're not a slave to sin, beloved. You're a slave of righteousness. You're the Lord's people. You're blood bought by the Lamb of God. He gave His life for you. He lived for you. He fulfilled all the demands of the law for you. Then He went to the cross and He suffered the pains of death, which we can't even understand. Inexpressible pains and terrors on the cross that He suffered for us, that we might become His people. The sheep of His pasture. The people of His hand. Why would we not flee sin? Sin does no good thing in our life. Sin gives a black eye to the work of our Savior, who has cleansed us from the sin and wickedness and has brought us in a newness of life.
Sin destroys our own soul. Sin produces bitterness in our life and grudges that are deep-rooted, hateful things which we say we would never do, and yet we do it in our thoughts. You were bought with a price. And the price, far above rubies. A price that you cannot even compare with earthly goods. What will you lay next to the blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ? What will you compare to Him? What will you give in exchange for the Christ? Sexual immorality? Bitterness? Grudges? Hateful thoughts? Perversion? Adultery? Fornication? Lewdness? Drunkenness? Will you give that? Will you lay that next to the Christ? It's inestimable value. Canons of Dort say it's an infinite value because of the one who offered himself for us. Beloved, remember, Christ gave his life for you. He bought you. He owned you. You are the possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, so glorify God in your body. Glorify God in your body. He says in Colossians chapter 3, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Glorify Him in the way that you live. And it begins in the soul. The heart of the matter is always a matter of the heart. Deal with the heart issues, beloved. Go to the Lord. Confess your sin. He forgives. He's abundant in forgiveness. He doesn't forget His merciful kindness towards us as His people. He knows our frame. He knows we're dust. He knows the sin that easily clings to us. He knows we're easily tripped up. But how often do we not exercise the means of grace that our God has given to us to strengthen us in this pilgrim's walk? The body goes and follows as goes the soul. You fill your mind with the Word of God. It will direct the way that you live. And this will glorify God, that you walk in obedience to Him. Not to be saved. It's not legalism here. You can't do anything to be saved, beloved. Christ has saved you. It's a past tense. Christ has done this. In the aorist tense in Scripture means there is a continual result in the future, and that's what happens in sanctification. He has redeemed us at one point in time, and there's continual results. We are progressing into the image of the one who bought us. We are being recreated into true knowledge, true righteousness, and true holiness for the glory of the one who laid down his life for us, who cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? When you're tempted, as you will be, when you're in those predicaments, which you will be, remember the one who bought you. Run to the cross. Look to the blood of the Lamb, whose red, crimson blood cleanses you as white as snow. Look to Him, beloved. He's the comfort. He's the strength. He's the provision that we need to live as the people who are bought by His precious blood.
God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencerccus.com. There you'll find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.